First Samuel chapter 2, please. And as I was reading through this portion of scripture last week, I have read it many times before, but verse number 12 jumped out at me, and we'll read it again. And it says, "Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord." And it was those last words of that verse that jumped out at me particularly, where it says of Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, that these two men, they knew not the Lord. And what really stood out for me was the fact of these two men being priests for the Lord. But sadly, the Holy Spirit records for us here that they were sons of Belial, and they knew not the Lord. And we'll be considering what those words mean in a few moments in our message. But as I was thinking upon that verse and how applicable that is for us in the gospel tonight, I was thinking of our own state of affairs in Northern Ireland and in the UK as a whole. For we see nothing but an utter defiance and a rebellious spirit at present in our nation. The enemies of our Lord and his gospel appear to be shouting louder and louder for the promotion of sin and for the rejection of our Bible-based conservative Christian values. The rebellious and defiant spirit isn't something new, for it has been present in this world ever since Adam and Eve's fall in the Garden of Eden. And even as we read through God's precious word from Genesis to Revelation, we read of many individuals and nations of people who were rebellious, who were sinful, and who were wicked against the Lord. And sadly, as we have come to 1 Samuel chapter 2 this evening, we have read of two individuals who should have known better. But sadly, as scripture records for us, they were sons of Belial. And it is those words I want to imprint upon your heart, and that the Spirit of God, I pray, would write upon your heart, especially tonight if you're not saved. Because if you're in here tonight or you're watching online and you're not a Christian, you know not the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And so it could be said of you that you know not the Lord. Just as these men, they knew not the Lord. So my message tonight, I want us to consider these two sinful sons. And the first thought I want to leave with you is to notice the religious privileges of these sons. Notice with me in verse number 12, the religious privileges of these sons. For the Holy Spirit records for us, "Now the sons of Eli." And let us just stop there and think of what we have just read. And here we see the religious privileges, I believe, of these two characters. Hophni and Phinehas were the sons of Eli, and they were brought up in a religious home. Now, we don't read anything about who their mother was in the Bible, to the best of my knowledge. We don't know who she was, and we don't know what happened to her. But obviously, at this point in their lives, she had departed from the scene of time. But we are told something about them. We are told who these gentlemen's earthly father was, and that was Eli. Now, Eli was the high priest and the judge of God's people at that time. And so Eli, as the high priest, he had the responsibility of leading the worship in the tabernacle at Shiloh and to judge the people as God's man and as God's prophet. And yet, despite these religious privileges of Hophni and Phinehas, this did not make these two men godly men by any shape or form. Neither did it make them to become followers of the Lord God of Israel. You see, these men were just like you and I, born into this world as sinners. As the Bible rightly tells us in Romans 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That is true of you and I, and sadly it is true of these two individuals, Hophni and Phinehas. But I want to consider these religious privileges of these two sons. We could think, first of all, of their privilege of hearing the word of God. Now, as the high priest, their father Eli had the role to minister unto the people from the Old Testament, the part of the Old Testament which they would have had. Now, the people needed to be instructed from the law of God, as the Lord had commanded his servants to take the word of God to his people, to preach and declare the word of God unto the people, just as the minister, the preacher, the evangelist today, his one aim and his one main focus is to preach the word of God to his hearers. But sadly, even though Hophni and Phinehas had the privilege of hearing the word of God preached, they didn't desire or seek after to obey the word of God. Not only had they the privilege of hearing the word of God, but they had the privilege of hearing their fathers praying. As high priest, Eli would have prayed for the people on a daily basis. He would have prayed unto the Lord, not only for the people, but that their sins would be forgiven, that the Lord would be merciful unto his people, that the Lord would bless his people. And I'm sure many times those two boys heard their father pray for his two wayward boys. And they would have heard from their earliest days not just the reading and the expounding of the word of God, but also their father's prayers. But also being sons, if we could say, of the manse, they would have witnessed the sacrifices being made as well. As high priest Eli would have had to have offered up the sacrifice. He would have entered into the Holy of Holies and offered up the blood of the animal upon the mercy seat on the Ark of the Covenant on that one day of the year, the Day of Atonement, for the sins of the people. And while these boys would have witnessed this and knew the importance and the reason for it, yet they still did not follow the Lord. Yet they didn't turn unto the Lord. And also we could think of the fact that they had the privilege of partaking in the many feasts which the children of Israel celebrated. These men would have partaken in these different feasts. And ultimately we know that they point forward to the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who would take away the sin of the world. And as I was thinking about these two boys, these two men, and all of their religious privileges, and I think of many in Northern Ireland brought up in Christian homes with godly parents, perhaps godly grandparents, and they have been brought up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. But tonight finds them like these two men. They don't know the Lord. Despite their religious privileges, they are rejecting Christ. Am I speaking to such an individual or individuals tonight? Perhaps you have been brought up even in this church from your earliest days, nurtured in the gospel, in the Sabbath school and the children's meetings, and perhaps even in the Christian school, but tonight still finds you out of Christ, without a Saviour and without hope. Many in Northern Ireland have had that privilege of being brought up in the gospel. But sadly, if we were to look out onto our beloved province tonight, especially within Protestant circles, the case would be that many who have been brought up in the gospel have turned away from it. They are disobeying God and his word, just like these two men were in this account. You know, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 22, verse 6, to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I was thinking as well of young Timothy in the New Testament. And what did Paul say there of Timothy? How that from a child, Timothy knew the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make him wise unto salvation. Hophni and Phinehas knew the Scriptures, which was able to make them wise unto salvation. But sadly, they rejected it. They disobeyed it. And they turned away from it. Am I speaking to such an individual tonight? You know your need to be saved. You know the gospel. You could preach the gospel, perhaps. You know all the different accounts through Scripture, all the different Bible characters and situations which are expounded. But yet tonight finds you as a Christ rejecter. Oh, these men, they knew not the Lord despite their religious privileges. You see, religious privileges does not guarantee that you can be saved or will be saved. But secondly, let us consider the rebellious practices of these sons. For if you look with me from verses 12 to 17 of 1 Samuel chapter 2, or even if we read verse number 17 there, notice there what the Word of God says. Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. Notice what the Holy Spirit says about these young men. It says that their sin was very great before the Lord. And let me say, my friend, this evening, that your sin, no matter what it is very great before the Lord. In other words, it is a very serious and a solemn matter. It's not a laughing matter. Oh, how many love to laugh and to mock at sin and to mock at the things of God today. But what the Word of God tells me and tells us here, that their sin was very great before the Lord. And what we read of what these men done from verses 12 to 17, we read of how they sought to disrupt the sacrifices there. And even if you look with me to verse number 16, and it says, if any man said unto him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth. Then he would answer him, nay, but thou shalt give it me now, and if not, I will take it by force. You see, these men were not following according to how they were to be conducting their ministry as priests of the Lord. We see here their sacrilegious sins. And before you ask what sacrilegious means, I'll explain it to you as best I can. It simply means to have an irreverence ultimately towards the Lord. And this is the irreverence that these men had. It means to have an irreverence towards somebody or something. And of course, these men, their irreverence was to the Lord their God, the God of their fathers, the God who had brought their forefathers out of the land of Egypt, that brought them safely through the wilderness, crossing the Jordan River and into the promised land. But yet Hophni and Phinehas were men who were not true priests unto the Lord. And I think of many in our land who occupy pulpits and they dress like a minister of the gospel, but yet they're not saved. They're only in it because it's a job to them. They're only in it to have perhaps what they imagine would be a cushy life. They have no desire to preach the gospel. They have no desire for souls to be saved, to be rescued from a lost eternity in hell. And here were these men, and they were using the ministry for their own sinful and wicked ends. They were using the ministry, they were using their role as priests, that role of influence, that role where people would have looked up to them. They were to be setting the example, but sadly they were setting the wrong example by their sinful lifestyle. And that's why it's very important for you and I, even as believers here tonight, that no matter what sphere of service we are involved in the Lord's work, that we as believers have a good testimony. And that we as believers are not those who are simply seeking to profit and to gain financially or gain some other way by the things of God. You see, Hophni and Phinehas, they robbed those who were bringing the offerings to the Lord. And by taking the giver's portion of the offering as well as their own entitlement, they were stealing. Imagine that. Here were two priests, and what were they doing? They were stealing, and they were demanding that they would receive their portion, because they were entitled to a portion, but they were demanding that they received it first before the Lord. And here we see that they were irreverent towards the Lord and seeking to have their own desires and their own needs met before the Lord. And this clearly was a sign of the state of their hearts. Their hearts were not in tune with God. Their hearts hated God. Their hearts had no desire to serve the Lord truly. Their hearts were only to satisfy the desires of their sinful flesh. And such is the heart of the sinner tonight. You have no desire to seek after God. You have no desire to be born again. But thank God there's Christians praying for your soul. Thank God there's a Christian or Christians pray for me. And dear believers, there was believers who prayed for you before you came to saving faith. These men, they only wanted to satisfy their flesh and to satisfy the old nature, such as many in our world tonight. Is that you? Still living for the pleasures of this world? Oh yes, there's pleasure in sin. But friend, it's only for a season. And are you truly going to depart from and reject the Lord Jesus Christ for some simple flutter of this world? Something which will bring you no satisfaction or lasting joy or peace? Oh, but let me tell you, there's love, there's life and lasting joy. Where? Not in the church, but in the Lord Jesus Christ. And having your soul saved and having the guilt of your sins removed. Be cleansed by the precious blood of Christ. As I was thinking of these two individuals and the importance of putting the Lord first, you see, these men were putting themselves first. Are we as believers this evening putting the Lord first? In other words, are we fully surrendered to Him? Have we yielded our lives to Him? Are we giving Him His tithe that He deserves and what we are required to give Him? When we look at these men and their sacrilegious sins, they had no desire to honour the Lord. We could also consider as well their sensual sins. These men were serial adulterers. We're told that Phinehas, one of the brethren or one of the brothers, he was married. And his wife was expecting a child. For if you turn over with me to chapter 4, verse number 19. And it says there in chapter 4, verse 19, and his daughter, that is Eli's daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child, near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken, and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for her pains come upon her. And about the time of her death, the woman that stood by her said unto her, fear not, for thou hast borne a son. But she answered not, neither did she regard it. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, the glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken. These men, as I said, they were living to satisfy their own sinful desires. And I don't need to labour this point, because it's very grievous. But it says in the Bible that they lay with many women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. That's inconceivable that men in Christian authority, men with influence and men of authority, so-called in the worship of God, would engage in such wickedness and sinful behavior. But if you were to read on the internet and to go to certain good sound Christian websites, this is happening all the time, sadly, right across the world, and especially in these so-called mega churches in America. And that is why we as believers must be very careful. These men clearly were not walking with the Lord, and so they didn't care. They were only living for self and for sin, and such is a sinner tonight, only living for their own sinful desires, only living to get whatever out of this world that they can. And so they were living for the gratification of their own sinful nature. These men, they didn't care about the law of God. I'm sure they knew it word perfect. But yet they were breaking the 7th and the 10th commandment, where the Bible tells us that we're not to commit adultery. And in commandment number 10, we're told not to covet that which doesn't belong to us. But yet that's what these men were doing. And then we read in chapter 2, verses 22 to 25, we read of Eli confronting his sons. And he says, Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how that they lay with the woman that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress. Or that word there, transgress, in verse 24, it means to cry out. And this caused the people to cry out, because they knew the way these men were living was not right. But yet they didn't heed the word of God. Neither did they heed the word of their father. They didn't care. All they were concerned about was satisfying themselves and living for themselves. Now if you look back with me to verse number 12 of 1 Samuel 2, it says, "Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial." And those words signify there that these men had chosen, in basic terms, they had chosen to serve the devil rather than the Lord. As I said, they wanted their sin and not to surrender their lives unto the Lord. Are you someone tonight who wants your sin and not the Savior? Are you someone who wants the fleeting pleasures of this world which will pass away and to end up in hell for all eternity rather than repent of your sin and to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, whom to know is life eternal, who is able to truly satisfy your longing soul and to give you a new heart and new desires for God and for His Word? This phrase, the sons of Belial, can also be referred to mean that these men were worthless and they were wickedness. They were characterized, in other words, by their worthlessness and by their wickedness. These men were mischievous men, as I'm sure you can understand from what we have read about their life and their testimony. And yet we read about this term over and over in the scriptures, that there were those who were described as sons of Belial. Now I'm sure, and I know that many people do not like to be called sinners. And especially nobody would like to be referred to as a son or a daughter of Belial. But let my friend tonight, if you're still in your sin, rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a son or you're a daughter of Belial. This is not my words. This is the words of Holy Scripture. This is the language of God, the Holy Spirit. And these two men were sons of Belial. They were wicked, they were worthless, and they were mischievous. They wanted the devil and his sin rather than the Savior and his salvation. We've considered the rebellious practices of these sons. But let us consider lastly the righteous punishment of these sons. You see, a man of God whom we don't know his name came to Eli. And if you look with me to verses 33 and 34 of 1 Samuel chapter 2. And it says, And the man of thine whom I shall cut off from mine altar shall be to consume thine eyes and to grieve thine heart, and all the increase of thine house shall die in the flower of their age. And this shall be a sign unto thee that shall come upon thy two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall die both of them. Now we know in the scriptures many times there are those individuals whom God raises up who we don't know their names, but yet the Lord uses them to do a work or to speak a word for Him. And here this unknown or unnamed prophet of the Lord came to the high priest and declared unto him the word of God and told him that in one day both his sons were going to die. You see, the Lord Almighty God, in His nature, He is totally and entirely holy. He is separate from sin. He cannot tolerate sin nor be tempted to sin. The Bible tells us in Habakkuk 1 verse 13, "Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity." And so the Lord will punish all sin, whether that is paid for by the blood of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, or by you, by rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, you will suffer in hell for all eternity for your sins. These two sons were going to reap what they had sown. Their payday was coming. Let me say, sinner, tonight, payday is coming. All those who mock the Lord and His word, and all those who love to parade their sin before us today, judgment day is coming. Just as judgment day came for those people in Noah's day, as Noah and his family entered into the ark and the ark of the door was shut, then the rain came and judgment fell. Judgment's coming. The Bible tells us that you reap what you sow. And these men certainly were going to reap what they had sown. We see that their sin was dealt with. And this unnamed and unknown man of God comes and tells Eli directly and honestly that their sons were going to die. Let me say, my friend, that death will come to each and every one of us, myself included. But thank God for myself and every other Christian. Death is simply the passing from this life into eternal life. But yet, my friend, for you, if you still reject Christ and die in your sin, death for you will be the gateway into a lost eternity in hell, where there's nothing but endless torment and suffering, where the fire is never quenched, the Bible says. And that is why you must be saved tonight. That is why, as we bring our gospel meeting to a close in a moment or two's time, I urge upon you to not live like these men, but to be saved, not to reject the word of God, and not to reject the Christ of the gospel that is revealed unto us. But oh, that you would come, that you would taste and see that the Lord is good, that you would turn away or repent from your sin, and you would trust and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Eli's sons were not faithful priests, and we can see that very clearly from what we've read this evening. But let me encourage you as I bring my message to a close. For there is a faithful high priest. There is a saviour from all sin. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. For if you look with me to verse 35 of 1 Samuel chapter 2. And this unknown man of God says, "And I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in mine hand and in my mind. And I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever." And thank God the Lord Jesus Christ is that faithful high priest. He is that great high priest who was not just the sacrifice, but the one who offered up the sacrifice of himself at Calvary's cross. And how the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, he came from heaven's glory, and he lived in this sin-cursed world. And he went the whole way to the cross. And there he died in our guilty room instead. And there he suffered under the wrath of his holy heavenly Father, that wrath which was my due and your due, sinner. And how he bore it the whole way to Calvary. And how he suffered and died alone. And in those 3 hours of darkness from 12 unto 3, where the Father poured out his wrath for our sins upon his Son, and the Lord Jesus Christ cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" You see, he was forsaken that you and I would not be forsaken. And thank God he cried from the cross, "Tetelestai, it is finished, paid in full." And thank God that's our hope tonight in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only did he live and die, but he rose again on the third day. And thank God tonight we can point you to not a church, not to a preacher, but to the risen and exalted and ascended Lord Jesus Christ. He who is seated at the Father's right hand as the faithful great high priest for his people, who ever lives to make intercession for his people, to plead the merits of his precious blood, to intercede, to make our prayers perfect before the Father's face. Oh, Christian, rejoice in that tonight. Rejoice that we have a faithful high priest in glory, mediating on our behalf. For there is one God, the Bible tells us, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Oh, that you would look to him, and that your faith and trust would be in him. You see, the Lord would one day, and he did, abolish the Aaronic priesthood. But thank God he sent his Son to be the great prophet, the priest and king of his people, the only head and saviour of his church. Sadly, for Hophni and Phinehas, these men died and they didn't know the Lord. And I pray that that would not be so for you, my friend. That you would not die, and that it would not be said of you that you were a son or a daughter of Belial. That you knew not the Lord. And it is those words that really jumped out at me this past week, and as I was thinking on this message. And how sad, despite these men's religious privileges, they had their rebellious practices, and they suffered their righteous punishment for their sins. You know, you're either going to suffer for your sins in hell, my friend, or Christ, who suffered for the sins of his people. If you will confess your sins, he is faithful, and he is just to forgive you of your sin, and praise God to cleanse you from all your unrighteousness. And that's where I want to direct your attention and your thoughts to tonight. Be warned by the testimony of Hophni and Phinehas. Oh, that you would not die knowing not the Lord, but that you would die well and die by being saved and die as a Christian. That's my hope and that's my plea. I'm not resting upon my church affiliation, but I am resting upon Christ and Christ alone. And that is the sinner's only hope and the sinner's only plea. And as I close my message this evening, that's why I want to point you to the Lord Jesus Christ, the faithful priest, the only Saviour. For neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. We've considered these two sinful sons, and I pray that you would not remain as a sinful son or as a sinful daughter, but that you would be a sinner saved by grace. May the Lord bless his word to each and every one of our hearts this evening. Let us close our meeting in prayer, and we thank you sincerely in the Saviour's name for your attention this evening. Our loving God and eternal Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word. And Lord, what a very solemn and sobering message we have considered tonight. Lord, men who were religious, but yet men who were rebellious. Men who knew the word of God, but yet men who rejected the Lord of the word. And Lord, I pray that as the voice of this preacher now falls silent, that the voice of God the Holy Spirit would speak on. That, Lord, thou wouldst write this word upon each and every one of our hearts. I pray, O God, that thou wouldst part us now in thy fear and with thy favour, and take us to our homes in safety. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship and communion of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and remain with us until the Saviour calls or comes again. And it's in his precious name we pray and ask these things. Amen.